You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Let's look at the Bible for a few minutes. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture for you this morning, taken from Romans chapter 8, a very familiar passage, Romans 8, verse 28 through 32. And then I'm going to move you right over to 1 Thessalonians and read from chapter 5 there. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about the idea of being legit. And basically in the context of being legit in our heart's attitude towards God and towards people. All right? So let's look at that. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the passage. All right? God, I ask you this morning that you would give me clarity of thought. I ask you that this morning you would open our hearts to receive. I would ask you that this morning you would be glorified in these words that are being spoken today. I would ask you that every person here would receive from you personal direction for their lives. I would ask you that your word would come alive inside of us. And I would ask you that your power and your spirit would be activated in us, God. I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, we have a new sense, Lord, of your hand in our lives, of what you are doing. I pray that today, God, we will understand that you work in every situation of our lives and that your intent is to make us more like Jesus. So help us. Help us to receive your word today and glorify you in the lives that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I kind of want to do a little bit of a teaching format maybe here for you this morning. I want to take you through these two passages of Scripture, and I want to talk to you this morning about, number one, thanksgiving or gratitude in your heart. And then I want to talk to you just briefly about the idea of how you look at people. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday of how we look at people. And I had a couple people tell me that they went to different places in the community and they did really like take a really genuine, serious look at the people around them and ask God to really speak to their heart about the people that they were encountering. So I know you're doing some things. You're really letting God stretch you here. I'm getting email. I don't think, since we talk about been talking about evangelism, I don't think I've gotten more feedback from people than I have, say, in the last 3 to 4 weeks. It's been really amazing. And so, we're still on this idea of our mission and our vision and who we are and what we're doing. We haven't left that. But when I feel like God is moving, when I feel like the Holy Spirit is really tapped into something and he's like capturing our hearts about something, I don't want to quickly move away from that. I don't want to just jump around here and do stuff. And I really, from just your feedback, I'm sensing how much God, by his Spirit and by his truth, is really talking to you and I in this area. And so with that, and not leaving the idea that it is Thanksgiving and that there's this whole thing of being thankful and having gratitude, I want to kind of meld the two together a little bit this morning here. But I'd like to take you to Romans chapter 8 to start with, okay? And I'd like to look at what is probably one of the most commonly used passages in the Bible, Romans 8, beginning at verse 28, and we'll read there, okay? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All right, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. All right. And those he predestined, he also called. All right. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All right? A wonderful, wonderful passage. And I want you to just dock that one right there, okay? And then I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'd like to read a couple of verses from there as well, please, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. I love one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Be joyful always. One of the hardest ones, too, but one of my favorites. You know, I love challenging verses, and I love when they make me try to figure it out, you know. But be joyful always, verse 16. Verse 17, pray continually. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Man, this is challenging to me. This is very, very challenging to me. How many times have you ever been going through a really difficult situation and you just wanted somebody to feel sorry about you? You know, you just really wanted somebody to commiserate with you and just get in there with you, and you just wanted to throw the biggest pity party you possibly could, and you just wanted to feel awful together, and you wanted to gather that, you know, that herd of those kinds of people around you and just, you know, oh, I just want to be miserable for a while. You know, you ever done that kind of thing? And sure enough, when you're right there in that place with things and you're trying to process and work through stuff, someone comes up to you, some chipper, dipper, you know, hyper spiritual Christian person, and says, well, you know, all things work together for good for them who are called. And I just want to slap people like that, you know. I just don't enjoy that. I don't like that when people, you know, just give me that, you know. It's like, that's not what I'm looking for right now, you know. But it does. It just kind of like, it shakes you, you know. It just rattles you a little bit. And the reality is, that is where we need to be. That is where we need to come. We, you know, the party we need to throw is the party of joy, you know, of joyfulness. And so we are to be, let me declare this to you, we are to be thankful in all circumstances. We are to have gratitude about every situation and every circumstance that we're in. Now, I'm not advocating that you go out there and start giving pat answers to all the people who are struggling and going through difficult circumstances, because I don't believe that that is what God intends for us to do. Sometimes you just got to wrestle with somebody, you know. Sometimes you got to get down to where somebody is, and you got to walk with them in the place that they're in. And just finding pat little answers to remove yourself from a person's life or a person's struggle is not God's way. Jesus gets in there with us in our world. Jesus comes into our pain. Jesus comes into our struggles. Jesus comes into our anxiety and our turmoil, and He lives there with us. He habitates. The Holy Spirit habitates with us. The Holy Spirit lives with us in those kinds of places. And I think it's important that we begin to try to learn how to live with each other in those places, you know, where we can go in there and we can wrestle through the questions that don't have easy answers, and we can talk about the situations where it isn't fun to represent God. I remember my first experience in chaplaincy, and three children died in a house fire. And the mom came out of a side room, and she said, where are my children? And I'm the one standing there representing God. And she says, tell me my children are okay. I can't have any more babies. And at that point, I'm required to tell her that her children have just died in a house fire. Man, you don't want to represent God in that moment. You know, you don't want to be God's voice in that particular moment. And I guarantee you, if I had said, well, you know, now, before we talk about this, let me just assure you that God works for good, you know, and he's working good in your life, you know. That is not the kind of thing that someone is wanting to hear at that point, you know. And as we begin to explain the situation and unfold the horrible truth of what had happened and what she was going to have to grapple with over the next days and years of her life, and the great pain and loss there, she just fell into the floor. And it's like, I mean, this is my first experience as a chaplain. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to talk to this woman. Going into that room, as I was headed to that room from the emergency room, from the trauma room, and literally visually seeing these children, walking towards where I knew this woman was going to be, I was mortified. I was scared. I was fearful. I can't put enough words out there to tell you what I was. I was still smelling the smoke, the stench from that emergency room. I'm not trying to put a downer on you here. I want you to understand that there are circumstances in life that is very difficult to represent God, isn't it? And all I could do is when she began to fall into that floor, I fell with her. It's like something, you know, and I did that two or three times in my experiences with people who were in great anguish and great despair. Is you know, I just crumpled with them. I didn't try to be some strong man with all the right answers and the polished demeanor and all those kinds of things. I didn't even want to be priestly. As a matter of fact, I didn't even want her to know I was a pastor, to be honest with you. But something about that anguish grabbed a hold of me. And I thought, you know, what would Jesus do? And I went down on the floor with her and I put my arms around her and I held her while she cried and she cried and she cried and she cried. And I never said one word. Not one word. And after a little while of all of those tears, we both heard these words out of our ears. We heard these words. God is good. God is good. God is good. And her sister was standing over in the corner of that little tiny grieving room. And she didn't know what to say either, but she knew truth. And she just started to whisper a gentle truth. God is good. God is good. We came up off that floor in time and they processed this horrible situation, and there were funerals and things in the paper, and there was so much emotion in all of this. And several years later, I got on an airplane, and I don't even remember now where I was going, but I got on an airplane and I sat down in my seat. I'm not a person who likes to talk to people on an airplane, so I just kind of sit down and kind of, you know, get to myself. And this lady gets on the airplane and she sits down next to me. I was kind of hoping that I would have just like, you know, an empty seat next to me and it would be a great flight. And this lady sat down next to me and she looked at me, and I could tell she had looked at me and smiled. And I was like, I don't want to smile at her because then she's going to want to talk, and I don't want to talk, and I'm tired and I just want to take this flight. And she sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't look at her because I'm not going to talk, you know, I'm not. She goes, "You don't remember me, do you?" I hate that too, you know. It's like, shoot, because I didn't remember her, you know. And she goes, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I go, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry, help me. I don't know who you are." And she said, "Well, you were with us one night. You were with my sister. And she lost her kids in a house fire." And I looked at her and I go, "Oh, yeah, I remember you." And she said, "I just want you to know they're doing all right. They're doing good." And she said, "They still talk about you." You know, and they said, "You know, it was just really great how you just sort of like, you were just there. You didn't try to fix anything." And I said to her, "Lady, you had the message of the hour. You were the prophetic voice into that agonizing, awful moment and that horrific experience. You were the prophetic voice." She goes, "What do you mean?" And I go, "I didn't know what to say. I was the new kid on the block. I didn't know what to do. And you whispered the most amazing words, God is good." She didn't even realize she was doing it. She didn't realize that that was coming out of her. She didn't remember doing that. It's like just in the moment, it's like the Spirit of the Lord pulled something up out of the truth of what was deep inside of her, what resonated inside of her. And it was simply, God is good. God is good. And the Holy Spirit was there to help her in that situation, bring forth the word that needed to be spoken. God is good. I left there, came home. My son Braden was a little tiny boy, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember going in his room. Still, I could smell that smell of burnt flesh in my nostrils. And I laid down across him and I just cried out to God. I said, "God, God, protect my son. Protect my son. Keep your hand on my son. I don't want to lose my son. I don't know what I would do if I had to give him up. And I just began to weep. And then there was like this flood that came over me in that moment. And it was like God said, teachable moment, Bill. I gave my son for you. I gave him up. I laid him on that cross for you, Bill. Through my son, through his death, I worked good for you. Take great joy in me. And I remember getting up from praying for my son there over in that bed and standing in his bedroom. And this is literally how it was, and this is going to look foolish, but I don't care this morning. I just want you to understand that we are people who must give thanks in every circumstance. But I'm standing and I'm looking at him and I'm hearing all of this in my head and I'm processing what I felt like the Spirit of God just said to me. And standing in my son's bedroom, I was just like, yes. 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 Yes, my God. My God is faithful. My God, there had to be some kind of, you know, it's like I had to have some kind of physical release with all that was inside of me. But I just sort of jumped up and down for a moment and just said, you know, you are good. You are good. And in the most difficult situations, you and I must come to that place where we understand that God is good and we give thanks. These passages that I just read to you, They emphasize, I believe, this. If you put them together, now Paul writes to the Christians at Rome. I think this is somewhere around like 55 after Jesus has died and been resurrected, you know. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to communicate his understanding of the gospel to these believers in this passage. And he's trying to help them. They're dealing with conflicts in the church, and Paul is trying to you know, reach to them. He's trying to love them here, and he's trying to talk to them and teach them about things here. And this is what I want you to understand is that as Paul is talking to them, I think there's something for us to tap into and apply to our lives, and not just because it's Thanksgiving weekend. But let's take this and let's build this into our lives, into the fabric of our lives here, you know. But Thanksgiving is a time that Americans have set aside for being thankful for all the good things we have, you know. The whole premise of Thanksgiving, if you will, is that we take a day to reflect. And in doing that, it's sort of like kind of a Sabbath, you know. Let's take the day off, let's rest, let's cook some good food, let's gather around the table, let's have some spiritual application to our lives here, let's just be really thankful for what God has done for us. And we know that it dates back to the pilgrims and all of that, but the idea today is that and it's not just Christians that celebrate Thanksgiving Day and eat the turkey and even maybe go around the table and talk about things that they are thankful for. But it's a day that's set aside to thank God for His goodness. But we tend to set aside this day to thank God for all the good stuff in our lives. Do you understand that? That it's sort of like we've kind of taken it and said, okay, we're not going to make a broad application here. We're going to make a specific application, and we're going to look at those things that are really good, that we really like, and we're going to be thankful for those things. And so it almost is like it skews us as believers from a good theology. All right, it gets us to almost to where our mindset becomes, I only can give thanks for something that is good. And so I need to be looking for those things. And if it works, maybe I can find more good things to be thankful for than there are bad things. And so I come out on top. It's not that way with God. That's not the way we approach God. That's not the way we do this thing, okay? So I want to advocate that Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful for all the good things. But if we stop right there, are we really legit? Is our heart really legit? That word sort of like first came into use in the late 1800s, I think, and the whole it dealt around like performance. It dealt around actors and actresses, and it was used a lot in opera. And the whole idea was that there were some people that were really talented, and they really had giftings, and they could really perform. And then there are a lot of people who just perform just because they just want to, or they thought they were better than they really were, you know? And so they would just, like, impose themselves on people. And so there was this phrase that sort of like was born out of legitimate, called legit. And producers and talent scouts and such people, directors and all of those, they kind of coined this term. And it would be, you know, someone would say, hey, is he any good? He's legit. Meaning he's got it. He's a genuine, true actor. She's a genuine, true actress. Are you legit, Christians? Are we genuine, true Christians? Or are we pleasure seekers? Or happy hunters? Or whatever you want, whatever phrase you want to coin. Can we truly, at the end of the day, when the sun goes down, you know, the Bible says, don't be at odds with your brother. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. But at the end of the day, when the sun goes down, we think back, are we legit? Do we go to bed legit? Are we the real deal? Or do we only just look for the good stuff? And are we only grateful in the good times? Now, I want to challenge us to come back to this place to understand a few things here, all right? I believe this. I believe that this whole idea, this lesson, if you will, in gratitude and thanksgiving, it only comes, this place of being able to give thanks when we consider the bad things. I'm not talking about dwelling on bad now, but considering the bad things in our lives and considering the difficulties that we are in and that we're faced with in our lives, can we give thanks for those things? And can we do it with a legitimacy? Can we do it with a real heart here? Or do we go through motions? Because see, when I am happy about something, when something comes my way that's really good, you know, really, really good, I have an immediate response, and that goes something like this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing even sometimes. You know, it's just I can go into my office and realize that my office is my little sanctuary, you know, and it's been a hard day or a tough morning or whatever, and I can just walk in there and close the door, and it's quiet, and I can just go, hallelujah. Because for me, sometimes quiet is very good. Sometimes for me, alone is very good. But a lot of times, I'm walking with people through difficulties and hardships and heartaches and tough things. And sometimes I just have tough things of my own to work through and deal with. And sometimes stuff invades my life that is ugly and evil and vile. And sometimes things that I would never have wanted to happen happens. And I have to be able to say in those places, God is good. God is good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And that's really not easy for me to do. It's not easy for me in that moment. You don't hear it, hallelujah, or thank you, Jesus. It's not in me. That joy, that excitement, that exuberance, that energy has been sucked out of me in difficult circumstances. And so it's very hard for me. But am I a legitimate Christian? Am I a legitimate believer, follower of Christ in those moments? If I can pull back and eventually be able to say,
God is good. God is good. Then I am. Then I am. And so I want to challenge us here that we look at this. But Paul, when he writes to Rome, when he writes to Thessalonica, he is actually trying to say, I mean, scholars say that that was his first letter, that letter to Thessalonica. Maybe it was. But Paul is writing in this letter here, and he's writing a response to a report that comes from young Timothy here, that the Christians are standing strong in their faith, but they have many questions about Christ and about daily life. And so Paul is trying to walk them through this. And here's the thing that I want you to understand, and I think we see it in this passage of scripture, is that it is sort of inferred, but tough things are going to happen, guys. Tough stuff is going to come into your life. Simply because you know Jesus doesn't mean that no longer is anything bad going to happen to you. You don't get this kind of like saran wrap thing around you and nothing touches you, you know? I mean, for me, for a word picture, when I got saved, I had this like, I was I just didn't have it right. I just didn't have it right. And I got saved thinking that it was going to be like, you know, the best picture I have is I cook eggs. I love to cook eggs. I like eggs, you know, and I have this little pan, you know, and it has this coating in it, you know, and so you can like cook an egg and you can just like move the egg around in the pan. It just slides because it's like this Teflon coating, you know, and if you just spray a little something on there, you know, everything in there just like slides around. It doesn't stick, you know, and that's how I thought I was going to be as a Christian. When I got saved, man, the Holy Spirit is just going to come upon me. He is going to be my Teflon coating. I actually heard that in a sermon once. And, you know, it was like, so I just got saved. So it was like God just comes on and goes, zzz, tum, you know, and everything's just going to slide off of me and life's going to be great. And I can just, you know, just move through anything and nothing sticks to me. And it's really good. What a deception. What a skewed view. Folks, stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to invade. Stuff's going to get in there. But the key is that the Holy Spirit has been given to you. All right? The Holy Spirit is yours. In this verse 28 of Romans 8, Paul wanted these troubled believers to know that God was in charge. God is in control. God is on the throne. And the reality is that He is at work. He hasn't missed a thing. And He is in charge and He is good. All right? And Paul did not intend to say that God caused negative circumstances in these people's lives, nor does He cause negative circumstances in your life or my life. But what He does do is He promises that He will work through those situations for a higher purpose. And that higher purpose, unfortunately, is not to make you and me happy. It is to make us more like Jesus. And the ideal is that will make us happy. That in that place of finding ourselves more and more and more like Jesus, we begin to find that that is enriching, that is fulfilling, that is dynamic, and it begins to move us. And out of that, that joy springs up out of us like rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies, so to speak. And the Spirit of God upon us is moving us and empowering us and strengthening us so that we can handle the adversities and the difficulties of life. And knowing that God is in control of your life, knowing that God is moving you, knowing that God is working in your circumstances, knowing that God has your interest in His heart and that His intent is to conform you to the image and the likeness of Jesus. That is our hope. That is our anchor. That is the place where we say, yes, God is indeed good. And there we stand. There we camp ourselves, if you will, in that place. There are going to be things that are going to come into your life that are going to disappoint you severely.
There are things that are going to rip the hope out of you. There are things that are going to take away your heart and your desire to be passionate and to move forward. The enemy is continually trying to buffet you in a fallen world filled with sin and adversity and death and all kinds of things that are the devil's triggers to try to move you into a place where you are paralyzed and cannot grow and mature and become like Jesus. See, this isn't a thing about, okay, I got a little weird guy here and a little strange guy here, and one's got a halo and wings, and one's got horns and a pitchfork, and one's all about good and one's all about bad, and it's yin and yang and all this kind. No, it's not that. That's not the way it is. God intends for you to become like Jesus. And Satan intends to stop that process. And so there is a conflict, a battle that's going on, if you will, for you. And the intent of God is that by His Spirit and power, He will enable you to rise above this world here. As aliens, if you will, of a different kingdom, of a different order, if you will, rise up. And so you begin to understand that though He did not author it, He is in it. And because He is in it and He is good, you're going to come out on top. You're going to be all right. Thanks be unto God. This is why Paul, in some of the most adverse situations, could be talking about how difficult things were. He could be talking about how tough it was, and all of a sudden he like breaks out in this like song almost, you know? It's like, but praise be unto God. In other words, he could get his hands around this thing because he understood that God was in this for His good. All right, and understand that the good did not mean earthly comfort. All right, it doesn't mean happiness. It refers to becoming more like Christ, being an active part of God's purpose, and looking forward to eternity with God. Here's the deal: we get so fixed on the difficulty, we get so fixed on the adversity, we get so fixed on evil in this earth that we no longer can look to God who is high and lifted up and mighty. Job said, I need a bondsman. I need somebody. Job's down here and everything's getting taken out of his life and sucked out of his life. I mean, talk about adversity. Talk about difficulty. Talk about hardship and loss and suffering and all that. Read about Job, all right? His whole life and world is getting taken away from him, and he's trying to stay on top. He's trying to stay with God and track with God, and even his best friends are telling him to curse God and just die, Job. That is a lonely, dark place. And Job, in the midst of all this, says, I just need a bondsman. What he's saying, I need a middleman. See, here I am, I'm down here, I'm in adversity, I'm getting put down, I'm in a hole, I'm in a pit, it's dark, I'm losing everything, but I know God is good, but I'm messed up, I'm losing my children, I'm losing my resources, it's tough. I just need I need someone that'll get me to God. And God said, I got it. It's called Jesus. And Jesus reaches up here and He says, Father. And He reaches down here and He says, David. He says, Nathan. He says, Charity. He says, whoever. Here you are. Jesus brings us to the Father through the cross. God is good. God is good all the time. And then Jesus says, I got to go. I got to go, guys. But here's what I'm going to do. When I leave, the Father's going to send you the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to dwell in you. He's going to fill you. And you're going to walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be an overcomer.
You're going to rise above circumstances and situations. Life does not always go our way. But even in the difficulties, God is working. But understand that work is to conform, that work is to shape, that work is to bring us into the image of Christ. He loves us and He is working for our purposes and our good. The Christians in Rome were being persecuted by the government. The Jews were refusing to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. There was all kinds of conflicts going on in the church. They were struggling in their daily lives. This whole thing of Jesus and faith and all that was new to them. And Paul is coming into this thing and he's starting to remind them, hey, you need to understand something. God is on your side. God is with you. And the Holy Spirit is there for you. It doesn't matter about government. It doesn't matter about personal trouble. It doesn't matter about world problems. None of that can stand against what? The sovereignty of God in this universe. And that's what he's trying to tell us through these passages. So here's what I want to leave you with here today. All right? Is that we, like these Christians in Thessalonica and in Rome, we need to understand this gift of God's Holy Spirit who encourages us, who intercedes for us, who strengthens us in our daily lives. And so I want to ask you a question as we close out here. Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in your daily life? And I want you to think about that for a minute. Don't give a quick yes or no, okay? He has given the Spirit. And the Spirit is there to not only comfort us, but to empower us and to enable us. When you are confronted or assaulted by a difficult circumstance, what is your first response? What is your first response? If our first response is anything less than to fall into God, the enemy could get a foothold in there and literally take you out. I want to challenge you and I that the first responder in our life is the Spirit of the Lord. Not an unholy comforter, not fear, not doubt, not questioning or unbelief or those kind, not anger and rage, but as a believer, as a maturing Christian, the Holy Spirit becomes the first responder. That's why he's been released. All right? He's the first responder. In an accident, there are first responders and second responders and such. And the first responders have been trained and equipped. And they know that their job is to assess very quickly and get in there and alleviate dangers and hazards and things and to begin to prepare the way. Peace will come. Joy will come. And sometimes very quickly, sometimes not so quickly. But the first responder is the Holy Spirit. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, 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 never will God forsake you. Are you getting this morning? This isn't for just Thanksgiving Day. This isn't so you sit around the table and come up with something better to say when you do the circle of Thanksgiving. Yay. If that really is a blessing to you, I'm really sorry. I just saw a couple of you just kind of go, don't grieve it, do it. Okay, it's fine, all right? But I want you in your... You're fine around the table sharing blessings.
My concern for you as your pastor is your dark hour, your closet moment, your shadow moment, where everything caves in on you, where you're feeling all alone, where you have questions and you don't have answers, where you're wrestling and struggling with things, where you're heartbroken, where the tears that are coming out of you are not tears of joy, but they are great sorrow, and you think mourning is a long ways off. That's the place I'm talking about. And in that place, maybe I can't even get to you. When my son moved to North Carolina, well, actually before that, when he was in the Marines, has joined the Marines, and he said he was going to California at the time, and I had this look of dismay. He goes, "Dad, aren't you happy for me? Aren't you proud of me?" And I go, "I am so proud of you. But do you understand that the further you get away from me, the harder it is for me to catch you when you fall?" My arms are short now, buddy. But Braden, understand this, son. God's arm is never too short. Never. Never. Will you go there? Will you embrace that place? Will you hold on, grab a hold of God and hold on to God? The Holy Spirit has been shed upon you. The Spirit is in you. Hold on to that. Rest in that place. Because in that place, you will be able to rise up in any dilemma you face in life, any circumstance, and say, declare, God is good. God is good. God is good. Let's stand. Here's what I believe. Through the Holy Spirit, we can be thankful and joyful for all things. Anything you have in this world is temporary. And God desires us to reach for the eternal. His victory is certain, and your future is gloriously secure in Jesus Christ. So I pray that as you go through the days ahead, that you live legit. And here's why. And this is where I mail the things together. I'm challenging you to be evangelistic. I am challenging you to go out there into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am challenging you to be a greater witness than you have ever been. All right? You can't go out there and present an ungood God. You can't do that. It won't work. I don't want him. And I can bet no sinner out there is going to want him. I'm looking for a good God. One where the story at the end, I win. You win. We win. Where that God is filled with love and that love heals me. And that when I do go through things in this fallen, sinful world and they affect me, that God is there beside me to hold me up and to carry me. And that as I go through that, I am knowing with comfort and assurance it's going to make me more like Jesus. Amen. I can live that life. I can work with that. And that's what this world needs, is a God who is good. And that's your message. God is so good that he loved the world so much that he gave his son to die so that you could be forgiven of your sins. That's the message of hope, isn't it? Let's pray. God, I ask you that you just right now tear down any old thinking, any old strongholds in the minds of your people that you can't be trusted, that you really aren't faithful. Anyone here who has believed that you authored something bad in their lives, God, I ask you to disassemble that structure within their mind right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, where there are closed hearts in here this morning because of a hurt or a wound, something deep, Maybe even something from very long ago, but it's just closed up the heart this morning and there's not a response to you because trust has been annihilated. I ask you, Lord, that you restore to that heart a deep and abiding trust in the name of Jesus. I ask that you begin to pour your Spirit upon every person in this room and that now, Holy Spirit, you infuse their lives. That you do a powerful work of transforming each person because their minds have been renewed now in this truth today. That you work good because you are a good God. And I pray that any lies that the enemy has used to keep people from opening up to you and to seeing you as good and to being able to embrace the joy that you bring, that you will knock that out right now in Jesus' name. And that you will fill every person in this room with a powerful measure of great joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you will be the source of their joy. Not the things of this world. And not short-lived experiences in this world. But you and you alone. That Jesus, you become the center of all that we are after and the pattern of all that we are to become. And that through you, we become changed and conformed into your image that we may glorify your name, that we may push back darkness, and that we may bring light into the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.